We don't have technology out in California, so. I think you guys can hear me, right? Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah.
I might move around, so. Whose stuff is this? Si, is this yours?
Nope.
Si's handout. It's a lucky guess. Man, I want to start out with a verse. That's cool with you guys. Sam asked me to give my testimony, and I think you guys are going to get to know John Ridgway. Maybe you guys don't know him yet, but he's coming to the family camp. Newsflash. Sorry, Sam. And I told John, he's just another brother that the Lord kind of unites us with. And I was sharing my testimony, and he's like, oh, man, I got a verse for you. I was like, good. You know, that's awesome. And he shares me this verse, and it just talks about how powerful our testimonies are in the kingdom and this battle that we're all in. And so I want to share with you guys, if you guys got a Revelation 12, 10 to 11 open, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death." And so public speaking feels like faced with death to me. But I said, well, I get to work it out. And, you know, honestly, like, I think most of this story, you know, I share quite often because I think it's the easiest way to talk about Jesus is just tell your story. And, you know, of course, you'll hear the story and you're going to hear like, well, you get a lot of responses back after you share that testimony. You know, some people think that, you know, how could he do that? That's horrible, you know. Or, you know, sometimes they, you know, they get encouraged, of course. And the most common, especially with unbelievers, are, you know, right after the testimony, they say, "You share that with everybody?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, You know, and they go back thinking, and you know, of course, they come back and asking questions later, just because it was wild that a guy was so vulnerable. And so that's what I want to do today. And I don't know, was there a clock on the? I'll hold this up. Sam said keep it to 25 minutes, so I'm going to do my best. So let me kind of give you some back history. When I usually share this story, the guys that have been in my life have kind of put in me that we just keep our eyes open when we walk in Christ now. Because when the Lord gives you men, he hands you a man. And so many of us, including myself, just kind of blow through life with our task that we have to do or what we think we have to conquer, and we walk over all these people that the Lord wants us to love on or encourage. And so from the beginning of my walk, these guys have just been saying, "Hey, keep your eyes open, keep your eyes open." I'm like, "You sure? Because I don't really know much, you know." He's like, "You're a couple steps ahead, you'll be okay, you know." I'm like, "All right, you know." And so I started doing that, and I started hearing and seeing how many people talk about Jesus. And sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's, you know, most of the time it's usually about religion and how they're trying to take your money or something. And I started trying to listen for this, and it came like almost every week. And I would just keep my ear to the ground, and then all of a sudden I hear something about Jesus. I said, "What did you say?" And they say, they'd repeat it back to me. I said, "Oh, I got a crazy Jesus story." And they're like, "You do?" I said, "Yeah. You want to hear about it?" And they're like, "Sure." And it was such an easy way to share about what God is doing in the world. And so I've just kind of adopted that thanks to these brothers that have been walking with me. And it's from then on out, it's just been just a wild ride, right? So my story and what it looks like, I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. Just kind of the normal active kid, super adventurous, did anything with sports and found a lot of success in that. And so, of course, that becomes your identity really quick. As far as my home goes, my dad was he's still a custom home builder. He does not know the Lord, but he was an amazing dad from an early on kind of stage. Just felt a ton of love from the guy. He grew up in a really abusive, kind of weird, hippie, spiritual home. Just some wild stories. So somehow he got it together. But since my childhood, he's been basically rolling down a hill. And it's tough to see that. Just, you know, he's your dad and you love him. But he's been the epitome to me of the man building his life on the sand. And it's like, it's a story right in front of me, and I'm like, holy crap, you know. We all make sure that we need to build off of something solid, you know, that foundation. And the ironic thing is he's a builder. I showed him that verse, so just so you guys know. My mom is from Kentucky, and she's kind of a Christian Baptist gal, and so she was a lot of rules growing up, and so we butted heads all throughout, you know, my childhood, and now we're really, really close. But parents ended up getting divorced, and that was just a wild time of, you know, like literally no direction. And I'm a twin. I got a twin sister, and so I got a little sister too. We were all pretty tight, but the whole family just blew up. And now that I have my own family, that story gets sadder as I move on, just because you see the life that God has given us now in our families, and it's incredible. And so going out through high school and, you know, earlier times than that, you know, you find something to medicate on, you know? And so I too found the dad's Playboy, and I still remember it to this day, like literally this feeling all throughout my body. I'm like, what the heck is this? This is amazing, you know? And nobody says anything in your house, and of course it becomes a very secret thing, and from then on out, nobody knew about it, you know, in my life, really. And so that was the way that I was medicating the pain. It was success in sports, and you got girls on the side. And so if you think about my vision for my life, it's like a James Bond movie. Like, it sounds hilarious, but that's really what it was. Like, if I had that type of a life, I'm golden. And so I never really was interested in business, really, or money. I didn't really care about that. I just thought, you know, you give your life to something, right? You sacrifice your life for something. I was an older brother, and so I felt a very kind of natural protective kind of instinct in me. And I remember my dad clothed me with that when he sent me off with my twin sister. He's like, hey, you're the protector. I said, okay. You know, so I tried it out first day of class. Some kid cut my sister in line, gave me a little punch in the gut. I said, yeah, it felt pretty good, you know, just to protect somebody. And so from then on out, it was this, you know, I go protect people, and girls is, you know, what gives you life. And so, of course, pornography, you go through college, and, you know, of course, you guys know what college is. It's just a bunch of partying. And so I went over, and I actually got to run track and field for a small university out in San Diego. And that career ended kind of quickly. I ended up getting a pretty bad injury in my back. I got two herniated discs, and I got nerve damage in my left leg. And so the Olympics was out in my head. And the doctor said, yeah, you're never really going to run again. And, you know, you're a driven young man. You're like, nah, what's he know? You know, 60-year-old guy, been in the field forever, you know. And so you think that, hey, maybe still my athleticism will be used for something. And again, college was not about anything business. I was a business major. And out of college, I had this kind of dream of going to be some sort of a special forces in the military. Just, you got athletic ability, and you're like, all right, what do you do with this thing, you know? And again, James Bond, I'm like, okay, we learn to fight. I said, well, in my 40s, I'll be riding an Aston Martin, right? Working for the CIA. And so then, you know, reality takes, you know, a nice firm root, and you see, you know, you got to pay the bills, and we get hired into an insurance role. It's a guy behind the desk working for a computer, or basically working for a computer. And I ended up going for a position that I didn't deserve. I was 25 years old, and it was a regional marketing director. It's like this, you know, most of the guys, you know, they're like 40 years old and making 200 grand a year. And I'm like, hey, you know, practice for interviews. Sure, you know. I'm like a year into the job, and they say, hey, you're hired. I said, me? I said, you sure? And so they send me up to Seattle. And so by this time, I swear to God, money really has never really taken a root in me. And I know there's probably some sort of temptation there, but I really didn't want to take the job because I knew I'd be making a lot of money, and I knew what my life was. And I just felt like that was just going to enhance me, you know, enhance the sin that I was in. And so that was girls, and of course, man, I was sleeping around. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, it just wasn't good. So I went up to Seattle. I somehow survived that. Many drunken nights and wild parties, and, you know, you get a lot of money, and it's just downhill from there. My girlfriend from the time, who I met in college, she was also a runner, who's now my wife, came up to do master's school, and we got together, and I had some sort of intelligence and said, man, this chick's unbelievable, you know? And I don't know why she married me, but she married me. And for my young guys, you guys, we hear this all the time, you know, we think that these sins in our lives are going to end at marriage or something. You know, at least I heard that quite often. That's the worst lie I've ever heard. And it's funny now, but it, you know, at the same time, man, those sins came in and it destroyed a lot. And so I want you guys to know that, tell all your buddies, bro, it's just a flat out lie. It just continues on. And so my marriage ended up, I became the guy I always hated, right? I'm an older brother to a twin. She's my best friend. I got a little sister who I look out to protect, and yet, you know, I find myself unfaithful to a wife that's pregnant with our first child. And I woke up one day and I'm like, man, how the hell did I become this douchebag? You know, and it's just like, you know, what am I doing wrong? And again, no guidance in life, and you just start putting pieces together of what feels good or what you think is right. And then for me, as far as God goes, you know, I grew up around Christianity a lot, but nobody ever told me about how you get his power. You know, where is that? In fact, I went to a Christian university, and I remember them telling me, hey, Chris, we went to this like men's group, and we're all sitting around this huge table. There's like 12 guys there, and he's like, hey, who all struggles with pornography? And every guy raised their hands. And I'm like, these guys are Christians? I'm like, all these guys? I was like, where the hell's the power? You know? Because I mean, I read, you know, I heard about power, right? When you believe in Jesus, somehow there's this power, there's this experience with God. And I never saw, man, I prayed that prayer like 1,000 times probably at that point. You know, just in and out of church a lot with the family. But again, you know, the guy that was probably my best friend in my life, my dad, he thought of Jesus as a nice guy. You know, and he said, you don't worship a man. So he told me. And of course, you know, today we have really funny conversations about that. And so, you know, you find yourself in this position and you're like, all right, man, I'm not living out my destiny. I'm making a lot of money to do what? You know, I wanted to go give my life in the military. My objective at that point in life was a pararescue man. If you guys know the Air Force, it's just dudes that jump out of planes and go rescue people. And I'm like, that sounds pretty rad. I was a good swimmer and I was a good runner. I'm like, well, those two things kind of fit. I like action. And so we were going to church at the time, my wife and I, again, 6 months pregnant. I'm unfaithful. Nobody knows anything. The world says, Chris, you're doing great, right? You got a home at 28, 29 years old. Everything's paid off. You got some nice cars. And got a nice job, got a nice wife. In Seattle, you got to have a dog, so you got a dog. And so I was going to church one day, and they said, hey, if you need healing, come down to the front of the church. And I said, okay, you know, I need some healing, right? My back, I'm like, if I just fix this one part about my job, because, you know, making a lot of money doesn't sound fun to me, then I'll know that God is real, and my life will be fulfilled, and we're all good. And so I go down to the front of this church and they say, okay, well, what do you need healing for? I said, well, my back. I told them about my back. And they're like, okay. And he stares at me in the eyes and he says, hey, do you have anything to confess? And I was like, what the heck is this about, you know? I was like, this wasn't a Catholic church, you know? I was like, yeah, I do, you know? And I told him everything. And he's like, okay, I want you to go home and tell your wife now. I was like, that's how the healing works? So I had this dilemma in my head. No joke, this is how bad I was, you know? I'm like, well, you know? And as I was going home, man, I just felt like something, right, telling me, hey, man, this is my one time to get out of this, right? Nobody knows. I was really good at hiding everything, you know? Nobody knows. And I'm like, all right, you know, like, I don't want to be this dude. I know I'm going to meet somebody someday, you know, when I die. And so I went home, I told my wife. And of course, you can imagine that conversation didn't go so well. There's a lot of tears, you know, on both sides, man. You know, you're just like, you end up being the dude you never wanted to be. And then, you know, and she's crying, she's pregnant. You're like, man, I'm really, really, really bad. And so for this next year, I'm like, okay, God, I'm all in. I don't know who you are. But I'm all in. I want to be the better dad. I want to do whatever you want me to do. And so I try to start finding God. Not about you guys, but if you could go try to find God, in your own strength, it doesn't really work. Figured that out, right? So this is where I started to see God, okay? And this is just a weird story. You guys can believe it or not, just what happened. So I'm still a wholesaler at the time. I'm doing business trips. I'm going out, taking guys out to drinks, right? You guys know the story probably. And I'm doing really good with this no pornography thing. I'm still lusting, I'm sure, after women. I have no idea, right? You're the line when you come to the Lord is like way out there. He's like, all right, well, just don't sleep with anybody. You're like, okay, got it. Nailing that one, right? And then you get pornography, and maybe that's like to the end of the carpet, right? And so when you get drunk, what do? You just go wandering. You're like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm drunk, and this is maybe the sixth business trip since I told my wife, so I'm feeling really good about myself. And I come home after drinking, I'm maybe in Idaho somewhere, and I look at pornography. I go to sleep. Of course, you're kind of like, God, I should have done that, you know, or whatever. And I wake up the next morning, and my wife calls me. And she's like, hey, I had a weird dream last night. She's like, do you need to tell me something? I was like, well, that was weird, you know? I was like, how'd she track that? You know, the first thing I was thinking. And no joke, there's absolutely no way she could have tracked it. And again, I felt something telling me, hey, now stay in the light. You stay in the light, brother. Of course, we know now if the battle's against, side note, this ADD, another ADD brother, if the battle's light and darkness, it's probably good just to stay in the light, right? So we stay in the light. All right, so I stay in the light, and I tell her, and of course, she meets it for what she should. You know, she's like an Italian girl. She's introverted. You think she's super sweet, but she's feisty. She gets pissed. She starts yelling at me. I'm like, okay, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. I won't do it again, right? 3 or 4 months goes by. You know, maybe 10 business trips go by. The same guy and the same intelligence wanders over, and he's drunk again and does something he shouldn't have done. I'm not exaggerating. The next morning, she calls me up. She says, I had that dream again. I'm like, oh, crap. And I'm like, this isn't good, you know? I'm like, maybe it is good. And again, I'm like, all right, you know, I'm just going to tell her. Third time it happens, no joke. Same story, right? Totally random, you know, events. There's no possible way she could attract it. She has it again. And I'm like, oh, man, like, this is real. Like, there's something that's keeping me accountable. And I don't know the story, but if you go and talk to my wife, she has a better story about it, because it was God telling her that he's not going to do that to you again. And like, that one almost makes me cry, you know. So anyways, I'm at this point in my life, and I'm like, dude, like, how the hell do I do this, you know? I got no dad, you know, that's like really helping me out. And I pray, I was like, God, like, I want a dude that's done it right, you know? And so I pray for an old dude. I say, I want an old dude that's done it right, you know, that knows God. And about that time, there's a guy in my life, my father-in-law, who I wouldn't say is like, you know, some holy Christian, or it's funny how God uses us all. He says, hey, I want you to come up to Tahoe. There's a men's retreat. Nobody knows anything of this. This is just between Allie and I. There's a men's retreat, and at the men's retreat, there's a guy who was in Special Forces last year, and he spoke. And I was like, oh, this is perfect, right? Like, this is right up my alley. This is what I want to be. He knows Jesus, apparently, and he likes doing what I maybe want to do. And I was like, this is perfect, right? So I go up there, and instead of some stud of a dude walking over, he is a stud, but came this 82-year-old guy wearing Nike, you know, those like really dorky, sorry if you guys have them, the dorky sandals with like the, you know, the leather piece, and it says like a Nike swoosh. Well, in California, they're dorky, so don't wear them out there. And he's got socks on, right? So anytime you got, you know, socks and sandals on, you're not in style. And he's got these sweatpants on. You know, and I come from like a business background, and like you have to be like, you know. And he's got a polo shirt on. So he's got a polo shirt on with like Nike pants. And I'm like, who is this dude? And he's got this mane of a beard. He's about 6'2". And he starts telling me this crazy story about how God leads him in his life. And I'm like, I'm in the front row. I'm like, holy crap, this is like the first Christian I've ever met. Like, he's led by God. And he starts telling me these crazy acts of kindness that he does. And how he doesn't worry about himself, because like in Matthew 6:33, you seek first the kingdom, everything else is added. You're taken care of. All you got to do is go be a production of love. And I'm like, holy crap, this guy's got what I need, you know? So I end up emailing this guy, and he's like some pastor in the Bay Area. I'm in Sacramento at this point. So I made it down from Seattle to the Bay to the Sacramento area. And I call him up. I say, hey, Ron, I email him. I said, hey, do you have like a study book or like what do I read? You know, how do I get to where you're at? So I don't know what else to ask. And he calls me up. He's like, Chris. I was like, yeah, Ron. This is my Ron impression. He's like, it's Ron. I said, yeah, I know. Where are you living? You know, he asked me where I'm living. I'm like, I'm in Sacramento. You know, and he's like, well, I'm in the Bay and I do this discipleship thing. I said, yeah, I know. You just talked about it, you know. He's like, well, why don't we just jump on the phone together and let's just talk. I said, okay, that sounds good. You know, I don't know how to find God, but you do, and that's cool. So for every week for like 2 or 3 months, we would jump on the phone together and we would have these really kind of, you guys would probably be laughing on these conversations because he would ask me, you know, about myself. And so I would tell him about myself and, you know, I think it's all about me, you know. And so he's like, tell me what you know about you. And then I start telling him about me. And the first conversation, he interrupts me. He says, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, what? He's like, you're talking a lot about yourself. yeah? He's like, you know it's not about you, right? I was like, okay, that's where we're at, all right? Yes, sir. You know, I'm like, I don't know what to say. He's like, okay, go on. And I'm like, all right, you know? And so we start talking some more, and, you know, long story short, you know, a few weeks go by, 3 or 4 weeks, I'm like, and he gives me this prayer to pray, and it's this prayer where you pray, you know, Jesus, you say, hey, Jesus, my life's all yours, you acknowledge who the Spirit is, you acknowledge who God is, and you just go along. And I'm like, Ron, I know the story, and I know what you're telling me to do, man, but I gotta be honest, like, I don't feel anything, I don't see anything, I haven't experienced anything. And he's like, well, tell me what you're doing. I was like, I'm doing what you told me to do, right? And so I go down the list, and I said, I'm reading the Bible, and he's like, oh. I said, what? He's like, that sounds exhausting. I said, kind of. Yeah, it's exhausting. He's like, yeah, you're trying too hard. You just need to surrender. Okay. You know, so I took it the first time. And like 3 or 4 weeks, 5, 6 weeks goes by, he says the same thing. He's like, you just need to surrender. And I'm like, I'm getting frustrated. I'm like, I'm freaking surrendering. I don't even know what that word means. But I wake up, I do your prayer, and I surrender. And he's like, yeah, you're just trying too hard. All right, gotta go. And I was like, okay, man. So I would do this. Every morning I'd get on my knees and I'd pray and I'd say the prayer. And my wife's probably looking at me like I'm crazy at this point. And again, this is like one of these other God moments. There's this one day I wake up, and this is maybe 2 months after I met Ron, and I'm walking. I could show you where I was walking, from Pete's Coffee to the Nugget Marketplace off Pleasant Grove in Roseville. So you see it. And I'm walking, and I pass this lady, and as I pass this lady, I swear to you, it was like time like slowed down. Like it was in slow motion, and all of a sudden, it wasn't like somebody I was attracted to or anything. She just passed me, and I looked at her, and like, I like literally was downloaded information on her value, like her worth. And of course, if you guys do any of the studies on pornography, the first thing it does is it strips you of humanness, of people. Like, they're not a value, they're just a tool. And I just understood her value, and it was the craziest moment of my life, and I'm like, what the freak was that, you know? And so I called the only Christian I know, and I called Ron. I said, Ron, let me tell you what happened. I told him what happened. He's like, Chris, you're free at last. You're free at last. He sounds Irish. He's not Irish, but it's my accent to him. And again, I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I'm like, yeah, let's do it, you know? And he's like, Chris, you know what happens now? I said, no. He's like, what's your ministry? Do I feed the homeless? You know, I don't know. Like, go adopt some kids or something and go to Africa. He's like, no. He's like, your ministry is the next person you meet. And he went into this talk about how the Spirit of God now lives in us. And as we know Him and we seek God, He leads us and He guides us. And I was like, that's a pretty wild concept, right? And I'm all in. Like, I have nothing else to, like, you know. I'm like, you can take my money, you can take anything. Because I just know who I am. I'm very convinced in who I am. And so I start opening my eyes and I literally, you know, so every business trip, I'm like, you know, I'm doing long-term care planning. And so, I'm talking to him, and then I'm just kind of waiting. Like, what's he going to say? Like, what's the Spirit going to do? What am I supposed to do? And of course, Ron was just saying, hey, just go love him. Just go love him. So I'm like, all right, so I just go love him, right? So the first time I see the Spirit of God in my life, it was just a wild kind of, again, moment. I'm on a business trip, and again, I'm on these little planes that go out to Idaho, so little prop planes, and you land on the runway, and you wait outside for your bags. So I'm outside waiting for a bag, and again, I'm looking for God. That's what I'm looking for. Him. And all of a sudden, I see this little girl come out with a social worker, and she's about 6 years old. You can tell she's autistic, and it's cold in Idaho, and it's windy at this time. And she comes out in like a little dress with like a cutoff shirt. And the first thing I think of is, like, what's this lady doing with this little girl? Like, she's freezing. And all of a sudden, I just felt that the Lord say, hey, go hand her your jacket. And I was like, oh, this is like one of those crazy Ron stories. And so I go over to the social worker, and I say, hey, can I hand her my jacket? And she says, sure. And so I swear to you, I get down on my knee, and I put this jacket around her. And guys, I was like, I felt like I was on fire. You know, like Captain Marvel's like, that was me, right, in the Spirit. And I was like, oh my goodness, what just happened? I just kind of sat there. And I was like, holy crap, that's God's love. You know? And in Psalms, it talks about the Lord going around commanding His loving kindness. How does He command loving kindness? He commands us. Where's loving kindness? And I'm blown away. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just crazy, right? And so as I get in, the Spirit of God just continues just to dive me into this book back here. And I can't stop reading, man. I never read any book. Like, literally all throughout high school or college, I never read anything. My twin sister she's a doctor. And so I just got Cliff Notes and she'd fill me in. And now I can't get through I can't not get out of this book, you know. And it just snowballed, guys. Like, it just kept coming. It kept coming. And so you get this redesign of your family. And you get this crazy community of brothers. And so Ron connects me with this guy back here. And I remember the first time I met Ian. We met at that Pete's that was by that crazy experience, Pete's Coffee. And I sat down with Ian. And I said, Ian's like, why are we meeting today? And I'm like, I said, Ian, all I know is I found out that Jesus Christ is the truth. But that's all I really know. And he's like, that's a good spot to start. And I met with Ian, and when I left with Ian, I was like, man, I sure hope he wants to meet again. You know? And now, 4.5 years later, that same group of guys has, like, you know, roughly 15 to 20 guys that now show up because of the vision that these guys, Kevin, Ian, John, have put in our lives about going to find men. And again, it's not about finding them. It's really just about God giving them to you. And you keeping your eyes open and realize that it's not about your bank account or your project. It's about relationships, you know? And so I want to tell one more story, and I'll get out of here because I'm probably over the time. But this is just, again, like, these are things that guys have just handed down to me, so I just want to hand them over to you. And I really believe them. And so, like, as I go to these coffee shops or whatever, that's what Californians do, you know, wear our skinny jeans and we go to have coffee. That's for Dan. And we're hippies. And so I go in every single day, you give your life to the Lord. And of course, guys, there's so much that I need to work on. It's not even funny. I got 4 kids. I'm like totally underwater right now. I barely got up today. And but you just keep trusting Him because it's His power and it's His works. It has nothing to do with it. We're just showing up. And so I go into these coffee shops and I'm like, all right, Lord, you want me to talk to anybody? And so I'll just sit down and, you know, start reading the Word and getting in the Bible. And at times, not every time, right, the Lord will highlight a dude for you. And so this one time, there's a brother that, like, we're brothers. This guy will be in my life the rest of my life. Guaranteed. His name's Grant. He's like 23 years old. I just have a heart for young guys that, because I had no direction, right, at that age. Like, zero direction. So I know what they're going through. And so I sit down, I look over, and there's this guy. He's got Bose headphones on, right? He's got his hood on and a hat, right? And he's into this book. And I realize he's got the Bible next to him. And he's got this other book, and he's kind of doing this fact-checked thing. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. You know, you don't see that every day. And I look at him and I say, hey. He's got his headphones on. He's like, don't bother me. He literally, you should hear him tell the story. It's really funny. I say, hey, what are you reading? He says, this is swipe right. He's like, what? He's like, swipe right. I was like, what's it about? And then he gets even quieter, tells me what it's about. I'm like, oh, it must be good, right? So I literally Googled the book, Swipe Right, it's about sexual addiction. So I'm like in this public coffee shop, like, what's it about? He's like, sexual addiction. And so I'm like, I read it, I'm like, oh, this is ironic. Huh. That's funny, because I'm sitting here and putting the pieces together. I'm like, oh Lord, you're good, right? And Ephesians 2:10 says that we just walk into these works. We don't struggle through them. We don't carry them on our bag. You know, we just like literally like, oh, it's like something highlighted. You're like, oh, you just walk into it. You're like, oh, I'm over here. I'm in this good work, right? So literally, I'm like, all right, Lord, if you want me to talk to that guy, you know, just keep him there. So I go back in. I look over. He's still there. I go back in. He's still there. Go back in, he's still there. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll go over, right? So I go over and I talk to this dude. And he's like, he's doing this thing. He's like, what? I was like, oh, I just want you to know that you're not supposed to battle alone. And he's like, oh, okay. You know? And he takes off his headphones and we have this like 2-hour conversation. I share my testimony with him. I told him about everything, you know, and again, he's one of these guys that like, that was really honest, you know, and he feels this desire that he should just share. And so this is my buddy, Ian, he put this into me. And he said, hey, Chris, they're not going to bleed until you hemorrhage. So I literally go out just hemorrhaging all day long. That's kind of morbid, but you know what I mean? And so I just go out and I just bleed, you know, and I love these guys and I encourage them all because it's the Lord, you know, and it's like this crazy journey. And so now, like, how the Lord has blessed us, man. Like, I should be divorced in Seattle. My wife would probably be in Reno with one little girl, right? One little girl. And instead of that, like, he swept through our family. And about a year after the Lord, my wife comes to me and she says, hey, I just want you to know I trust you again. I trust you now. And, you know, that was a crazy moment in time, you know. And so it's like now I have four kids. I got a business. I got a 6420, okay, with kids. This crazy family that's just unbelievable, man. I love these guys. And then I have all these adopted fathers and grandfathers. I mean, I can't even tell you guys. Like, it's just unbelievable, man. Like, all my grandpas, the only one that was cool, is he died when I was in high school. And all of them suck, man, you know. Judgment. They're all in darkness, right? And I'm just sitting here, man. I'm like, how the heck did this happen? You know? And the last thing I wanted to share was, like, I was in this dentist office, and we had the kids' dentist office, okay? And they have these surfboards. It's a pretty cool dentist office. And so all the kids are up there, and I got four kids now. And I'm sitting here, and I could just feel all these hygienists just admiring this family. You know, like a dad is here with a wife and four kids, and then they love each other, and they're one. Like, what the heck is this? You know, this is like something crazy. And the whole time, dude, all I want to do is just scream out Jesus. That's all I want to do. I just want to say Jesus. And, you know, I find out my wife has a conversation with one of the hygienists, and they connect about a church they're going to and stuff like that. And I know that got done. I was like, that would have been a little extreme. Jesus! They're like, what the hell? He's going to bomb us. You know? You know, guys, that's kind of the story. And, of course, there's a whole lot more stories there. And this whole time I'm thinking, all right, don't tell too many stories. Just because of what God has done. It has nothing to do with me. I want to read one more thing, if that's cool. Ezekiel 37. I read this just recently, and we were singing, and it said something about dry bones, and I said, well, that's my cue to read this. I don't know if that's true or not, but we'll find out. In Ezekiel 37, I read this, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is like the most beautiful picture of our walk in Christ. We got to find it now. But I think this also, for me at least, this keeps me humble. Because when you walk with the Lord, and of course He starts cleaning you off, and He starts, you know, He's shining you up a little bit, our tendency is what? Well done, Chris, you know, well done. It's like, that's not my work, man, that's His work. You know, and if we stay honest with ourselves, we read Ezekiel 37, we remember we're dry bones. You know? You ever see one of those Christians that come up and he's like a bunch of skeleton? He's like, you're like, a little more work to do, you know? But then you start to see a tendon grow on him. And you're like, oh my goodness. God's starting to breathe into this guy. You know, and so we celebrate the life, like our boy Kanye West. We were talking, Dan and I were talking about Kanye West. What is our tendency? Oh, sure, you know, he's from California. And bro, like, we're starting to see dry bones get skin on it, you know? I'm like, let's celebrate. You know, whether or not he comes, you know, stays in the Lord, I pray he does. Lord, hear us, you know? But there's something being, breathed into him right now. That's awesome. So the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of dry bones. So Ezekiel's getting this crazy vision. I hope I get a vision like this someday. This is awesome. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were many, very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you. Cover you with skin, put breath in you, that you may come alive, and that you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came back together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, and these tendons, right, and this flesh started to grow onto the skin, and there was no breath in them still. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. The Son of Man then said, prophesy to the breath. Thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe on the slain, and they will come to life. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly a great army. You know? It's like, that's the vision, man. A bunch of dry bones rattling out there. And when we go in and we just say, man, Lord, I just prophesy to the breath. You know, our Saturday group right now, it's, you know, when I walk there in the morning, that's the only thing I'm thinking, like, all right. No, I just pray you breathe, you know. You breathe into these guys. And then Ian and I just, and there's a lot of other brothers in there, but we just get to watch what happens. Who is saying, Si, you're saying, man, it's just a crazy blessing, you know, when you see these guys and they're right in front of you. And I had one recently, his name is Ethan. And Grant was another one that I just told you about. But Ethan, I sat in front of this guy and I was just like, man, what a freaking honor to love this guy. I can tell there's been no love in his life. There's been no encouragement in this guy's life. And I just get to sit in front and love him. You know, he's 20 years old. He wants to be a pastor. It's crazy. Yeah, so, brothers, that's the story. I know. I hope it encouraged, but it's not about me, right? It's about him. So, just keep giving it to him. So, thank you.